I was really hoping in my heart that our brother Lange will speak, so that there is no time for me left. I am so overwhelmed of all what we received from God. In fact, it is so mighty. And the nice thing is, it is true. And even nicer, very soon, everything will have taken place. And we are a part of that what God is doing now. I don't know who might feel like speaking when he thinks about it. I was so overwhelmed by it that I would like to say, let us worship. That God comes down in such a way that he cares about us, that our stiff-neckedness, our hardness of heart, and whatever may be, that he can overpower it, and that us who we are so twisted like a rope, that he can straighten us out. Just think on all the efforts we would have given up, and we would have said, if you don't want, then go. But he has invested too much in us to let us go. He wants to reach the destination with us, and he will reach it. And if we imagine what we just read and heard, that we will be like the Lord. What? Who shall say something here? We, a bunch of miserable people. And if one wanted to take a person out of the grave after 1 year, what do we find then? We would get sick if we would look at us. We would run away. We wouldn't want to see us. But it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a corruptible body. It is raised in incorruption. That's how it is written. And so it will be. We will be like he is. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Whoever can understand it, let him understand. We, who we are nothing, we shall be like him. And why will it be like this? Because he, as the firstborn, as the grain of wheat, has fallen into the ground and died. And because he paid the price for your and my redemption, he became like we are, so that we can become like he is. This is the gospel. This is the core. Not a wisdom which we bring with, not knowledge which we could give out left and right, but the fact, he who was in the spiritual body came into the body of flesh and became mortal. He suffered here, and in his suffering he learned obedience. And the Holy Scripture says he was obedient, obedient unto the death on the cross. He became like us, being found in fashion as a man. And pardon me when I say this here. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was no more angel. He was man. He came into this flesh to also that what was in the original sin, to have it performed on his body and to be reminded of it, to make the fall, to make the curse and everything what came upon us to make it well again. This is redemption. This is God's program with you and with me. Not that what we bring with, what we could show. We come as very miserable people, but we don't leave like this. We don't remain as we are. We come to the Lord, and we may walk away as changed people. And we have said it here, at this place, a couple of times. The changing of our body can only take place if the changing of our soul took place. Only if our heart was renewed, then also our body can be renewed. The spiritual comes first. If we wait for the changing of our body without having been changed on our inside, then we wait in vain. But if the inside was changed, then it is only a question of time. And we know that this time has come very near. And by the grace of God, we will experience all this. And when we think about that prophets were longing for it, to witness these things, and most certainly also our beloved brother Branham counted with it to experience and witness everything to the end. The Lord took him. Whoever will still be taken in the meantime, we cannot say. But one thing we know, there is a uniting, there is a reunion, there is a resurrection of the dead, a translation of the living, a rapture, a meeting with the Lord, and will be with the Lord at all times. When we think about that people walked on this earth who had received promises from God, sometimes they had to wait. Just think of Abraham. Brother Branham always used him as an example. He received the promise for Isaac, and he had to wait and wait and wait. And the Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, because he was fully persuaded that he that promised was also able to perform it. Outwardly, he may have become weaker and weaker. Inwardly, he became stronger and stronger and gave God the glory, because he knew that it would be fulfilled what he was told. The same it is with us. If we are the seed of Abraham, then we have a connection to the promise and to the faith, and with it to God, who gave the promise and therefore awakened the faith in us. Because we don't believe just something. We don't believe after the shotgun approach, where many things are spread before us. We believe what God promised. We concentrate and focus very clearly on those things which were determined for our days and which have to be fulfilled now. And this not because of us, but because God has said it. Just think of it. For how long was Joel 3 verse 1 written in the Bible? Suddenly the day came on which that what was written there had found fulfillment. And when the crowd were coming together and Peter preached his first sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said, Dear brethren, these men here are not drunk as ye suppose. Here it has been fulfilled what the prophet Joel has said. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. How long was it ago when David said in Psalms 22, they have pierced my hands and my feet and cast lots upon my garment. Suddenly, it was so far. The son of David hang on the cross, his hands and feet were pierced, and lots were cast upon his garment. No matter how long we have to wait, we do not wait in vain. The hour of God must come, in which the last promise will be fulfilled. And maybe we see it most clearly on the people of Israel. Nothing is more clear before our eyes, which one can hear and see and notice, than the people of Israel. God promised at the end of days to gather them. Already through Moses he said that they would be scattered all over the earth. And at the end of days, he wanted to gather them. Read Jeremiah 31, and there are many, many scriptures. If the Lord would stand here today, he would say, the scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Every word of God is a seed, and it must come forth. It has divine life in it, and therefore, our hope is justified. That, of course, the last things happen at the end, this we all know. And we just need to read in the parables, Matthew 13, when the Lord spoke about various things. And then he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And here it also speaks of the end of the harvest, of the field, of the sower, and so forth. The end is then the end of the world, and this is also the harvest time. Perhaps I should read it from Matthew 13. Here it says, Matthew 13, from verse 40, maybe 39 also. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. The harvest can only be brought in when the time has come for it. And when Brother Long, in his nice German, used the formulation, the wheat corn must be golden yellow. This is a statement which I made many years ago, when I saw the wheat field at that time with a brand new combine on which no one ever sat. And then I heard the voice, it is ordained for you. And I saw as the clouds were coming and it became dark, and I stood at the corner and I said, it is too late. The judgment is striking. And suddenly the voice, get on the combine and bring in the harvest. The wheat field had not one thistle, not one tear, absolutely 100% wheat. 100% wheat. And this may sound strange to us who we are coming from the countryside and have seen fields of barley, rye, wheat and oat. But we have read here that firstly all are taken out from the kingdom of God who don't belong there. And then the harvest will be brought in. I tell you, the last phase will be blessed, glorious and divine. All the to and fro, all up and down, all against one another. Everything will have an end. Everything will have an end. It will be God in us. Christ in us is already today the hope of glory. But then it will be manifested. And you can imagine how overwhelmed one is after such a sight. The ears were all long. They were full. All were bent down. All were bent down. Not one stood upright. All were bent down. And the impression which I had was they have been overripe. Not only ripe, overripe. Already a bit seared by the sun. Yeah. That's how it looked like. Fully ripe, if not to say overripe. And this was the moment at which the harvest should be brought in. Beloved, God will not be too late. I also get sometimes in a nervous condition and I accuse me and I say, Lord, am I in your way? The things don't move forward as one would like to see it. And probably you feel the same way, that we judge ourselves, not others. The divine way is always that one. Let each one examine himself. And this self-examination, which we always have to make, whether it's daily, I don't know. But it's many times that a man who wants to stand his ground before God, he time and again examines himself and says, Lord, am I an obstacle? Am I in my way or in the way of others? Where's the problem? And then deep in our hearts comes the divine answer. It will take place when the moment has come for it. Should now be obstacles, then they have their justification that no one starts a thing before God's time has come for it. And I would like to remind you in what a great expectation Brother Branham was right in the year 65. How was he waiting for that something special would break forth, would start? And he told his story with his stomach that his nervousness is now over. And that it would now start. He was in a great expectation that something very special would happen. And he said in a sermon, I shall ride this trail once more. He was in great expectation. All prophets were in great expectation. One thing I want to tell you. Although the prophets have not seen what they were waiting for, but it will take place. When the hour of God comes, then it will happen. They had a justified hope. If the hour didn't come at their time, this doesn't mean that it will not come, but it will come at God's time. What did the Lord say then? Your time is always ready, but my time is not yet come. So it might be also now. Our time is always ready. We could always do something, always something new. There would be no shortage of programs and on words. But we are no more interested in that. God shall come to his right. We don't want to ask him to bless our program and that he says his amen to it. But that He can place us into His program, that we become a part of this divine plan of salvation in this time. This is what matters. And when the prophet says in the Old Testament, where is it? In the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. That's how it is written. When the vision tarries and the promise was not fulfilled overnight, wait for it. Be certain, it does not lie. It will be fulfilled. It will be manifested, that every word of the scripture will have come to fulfillment. How long this time lasts, we don't decide. This God decided. We just want that He brings us to the point that we could say with all our hearts, Thy will be done in my life. And that we also mean it, Thy will be done in heaven and on earth. But not only that, but also in us and through us. By grace, we will experience that what God promised and what is still outstanding. There's a word, I don't know whether I find it straight away, but we also read it here a couple of times. A word that not one of the promises which God had given remained unfulfilled must be at the end of Joshua. This God has said at that time, and in the same way it will be now. Joshua 21, Joshua 21, verse 45. Not one of the Lord's faithful promises, which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, was left unfulfilled. All came to pass. I didn't say that. It's written here. This was the conclusion which could be made after that what God promised to Israel took place. The same conclusion will be able to be made when God will have the completion with the church and when we will be at our destination. Not one of all the promises which God has given can remain unfulfilled. For that, God watches over His word to fulfill it. We wait for the things which will still come. But let us also be careful that we are placed in it. Maybe I should put it into the following words. A bride will be there. A resurrection will take place. The translation will come. The rapture will be. Everything will be. The question is only, will I and will you have part in all that? There is no question that there will be a marriage supper, that there will be a rapture. There is no doubt about it. The question is, as a songwriter sings, will it be you? Will it be me? Will we be there when all that takes place? And to make this sure, we must have experienced an inner translation. The promises of God must have become a living revelation of God to us personally. We must have made our experience with the Lord so that it is ensured that we not only have heard and knew of these things, but that we know They are for me. I have personally part in that what God does. Look, when the Lord for the first time came, it was a great event. It was written in Micah 5. Thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. The time came, Bethlehem was there, Christ the Messiah was born. Who recognized it? The wise men from the east came and asked, where's the newborn king of the Jews? And the Jews didn't know anything. It can happen. If one would ask today, in all of Christianity, where is the thing which God promised? They shake all their heads. They say, we don't know. But there are people whom God made attentive. There are people who somehow recognized the sign, who recognized the day of their divine visitation. People whom God made attentive to that, what he does at their time. And to them we may belong. Just imagine, here in the city, negligible in many ways. And the people would see the cars come from this city and from there, from this country. There comes a professor from England to say something to us. And they shake their heads and say, don't they have churches in their city? Here and there and everywhere. What's wrong with these people? They come from Hamburg. I beg you. Are they normal? And the others are come probably from Munich. One would say, one moment, have they lost their orientation? Don't they know what is proper? Right? Beloved, some come from Hanover, from here and there. They come from the east and west. They come from the south and north. They come to feast with a king. And they hear God's word. They don't come into a city to make sightseeing. I'm glad that here is nothing to see. But there is something precious, and this is God's revealed word. To us it is like with the Greeks then, of whom Brother Long has read. We want to see Jesus. And I believe that God will once more glorify himself. I don't want to say that he owes it to us. We owe to him. He owes us nothing. But he promised it. He promised. That's how we heard it. The third, what he said, I have glorified him, and I will glorify him once more. I ask you, was the name of Jesus, since the days of the apostles, in its divine meaning, majesty and glory, put upon the lampstand in such a way as now in these days? How many use the name without that it is divinely illuminated and revealed to them? This is the day, and therefore the end must be as the beginning was. The same who was at the beginning as the Alpha is now at the end the Omega. He the first is the last and remains the same forever. Who glorified his name at the beginning and who kept the word he had given for that time and all the promises he had made. He is the same at the end. Who will glorify his name by that he will fulfill on his people all his promises. By this his name is glorified. To us the name of Jesus has become great, precious and valuable. There was no generation since the first in which this name had such a meaning as it has now for us, right or not? For me this is right, without that we want to judge others. I ask you, in which generation was Jesus Christ in his divinity so unveiled as in these days? When were the seals opened? In our time. When did God reveal the mysteries? in our days? What time is it in which we live? Watchmen of the night, how late is it? Beloved, if we summarize all this, then we are overwhelmed. Then the words are missing to us to express what we feel in our hearts towards God. And then the great privilege to live now. And not only that, but to hear the words of the divine promises, to believe them. And therefore, we live in the great expectation that God, that what is still outstanding, that He will fulfill it. Wait for it, for what His mouth has spoken, this will take place. Heaven is more likely to fall than His word deceives me, as a German hymn goes. He that seeks will find that God's word remains true forever. Let us summarize all this. God has a plan. The time of grace began, the time of grace will end. Two generations are of special significance in it, the first and the last. At that time, a prophetic age. If Dr. Larkin counted rightly, then 109 prophecies were fulfilled at the first coming of Christ, literally. It was a prophetic age. But I want to draw your attention to the following. From His birth to the start of His ministry, a period of time passed. But when it started, then it started. Then it started. And in the last 3 days, most of the prophecies were fulfilled, which were written. When it starts, then it starts. And then it rocks. And this applies then with a word what is written in Romans, but we actually don't want to go into it. As written here, that the Lord will cut His work short in righteousness. Romans 9, verse 28. Romans 9, verse 28. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. We may wait and wait, but then when it starts, then it starts. Then it rocks one after the other. And I tell you, when this hour is then here, then we all come to know of it. We will notice it, for it will not happen without us, but with us. God has included us by His grace into His plan. For this, we want to thank Him today with all our hearts. Really thanking Him. Is there one heart amongst us which would not be filled with thanksgiving? Then it must happen today. Then God wants to reveal Himself to you today. And if this has taken place, then it is fulfilled what is written, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. At the end, at the harvest, all sons and all daughters of God will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We will be like Him, and we will see Him. Now He is with us. Then we will be with Him. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. Amen. May I ask you to come to the front to thank the Lord together. We want to raise our voices and thank God with all our hearts. Brother Rus, please pray with us. Heavenly Father, we as your people, as you elect in this last time, we have this grace that this afternoon we could be gathered here to hear again your word. O Lord, all these meetings, you were present mightily. You have shown us your word and your glory. How should we not praise you? How should we not exalt your name? You have revealed your name to us. May we praise you with one mouth. Give it to us by your grace. Let us be ready when you will appear. We don't know when you will come, when the moment comes, but we know everything is so near at the door. Give grace. Give new strength to praise you, to honor you, Lord. For to you alone is the glory and the praise and the worship. Lord, I ask you, tune in our hearts so that we praise you. Oh Lord, we cannot take anything for us. We love you so much. We thank you for everything what you have done on us, and especially for your speaking and for your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. I'm so well. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved. We know whom we worship. And we know also why we worship. Our Lord said then, the time comes in which the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. There were times where the Spirit was at work, but the truth, the Word, was not yet here. Now, the Word is here. The blood, the Spirit, to be at work amongst the people of God. And beloved, we receive it thankfully. Since the days of the Apostle Paul, the Lord did not reveal himself in the light and in the pillar of fire. But in our days, it took place at that time. All the doctrines had to be brought. It was necessary. Now everything had to be newly revealed, being restored and put upon the lampstand. It was necessary. The same Lord appeared to Brother Branham in the same pillar of fire. In the same pillar of fire. Not only to say good day. A high purpose was connected with it. A sign. God wanted to draw our attention to something, away from all human things, to the divine. On him, our Lord, we shall hear in all what he will say to us. That he now used the mouth of a man, this doesn't matter. We are grateful for the speaking of God in these days. And I ask you, in how many millions of households is the Bible? Then I ask you, in whose hearts are the promises of God which are written in this Bible, written by the Spirit of all the millions, a negligible number? And it's necessary that the promises which are written into our hearts, so that we have the personal relationship to God, having the expectation that they will be fulfilled through us. Otherwise, God did not yet come into a direct relationship with us. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters. I will be your God. What a grace. Beloved, election and predestination has a much greater meaning than we sometimes think. These are not only words. Something great is connected with it. We should no longer be asked to thank the Lord. It should in us, it should really sputter from us to give unto the Lord the worship from a thankful heart. And we do it like Abraham. We do not stagger through unbelief. We don't look on our own condition, which is sometimes more than miserable. We look to the Lord. Our impotence is known to us. Now His omnipotence shall be made known to us. He who glorified His name then, He will glorify it once more in these days. He who revealed His word then has revealed it also now. He who confirmed it then is the same who will confirm it today. Nothing has changed with God. Oh, that we could believe, we would see the glory of God. Beloved, slowly but surely we get there. Slowly but surely we get there. Also this weekend strengthened us in the faith. I didn't know if I would be able to say anything this afternoon. It just overwhelmed me as never before. Since early this morning, how gracious is God, how far were we away from Him, and He came nigh to us, as a friend speaks with his friend. How did we hear it this morning? Ye are no more servants, ye are my friends. A servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. Ye are my friends. I told you everything. Oh, who can understand it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be of good courage. Trust the Lord. Persevere until the end. For he that persevereth until the end, he shall be crowned with a crown of life. May God give us all grace. One day he is deep down, one day the other. But we all feel with one another. We pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. And thus we may fulfill the law of Christ. May God join us really in this divine love which was manifested on the cross of Calvary. The love of God was manifested on Calvary. For God so much loved the world. This is love, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, salvation. And this divine love was poured into the redeemed by the Holy Ghost. It cannot be more clear and not more true. Blessed be the name of our Lord. We are only dealing with reality. Everything what God says is reality. One day, also the last promise will have become reality. The dead will be there. Those who are alive will be changed. And together will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Everything will be reality. With God, everything is a finished thing. We just wait for it, that it happens. And it will surely happen. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Remember me in a special way on this journey. I have never been there before, and I want to bring the word of the Lord, everything what's all about, in these meetings. And I depend on the help of God. Remember me. Remember all the brothers who carry the word in all the countries. Remember them who translate and who put their hand to the plow. And you who can pray, may God bless you. Let us stand together as never before, joined in the divine love, which no power of the enemy can tear or break. Joined by God, held by Him in His hand, recognize that the Lord leads His saints in a wonderful way. Blessed and praised be His name. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts that we, in all simplicity, can come to you. And we have the impression that we sat at your feet and we heard the loving words from your mouth. Never somebody spoke like you. Nobody can mean it so well. Faithful Lord, thank you that the promises are not just written in a book, but they were written into our hearts by the Spirit. Thank you that we can believe. Oh, we would cry out as Mary then, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Faithful God, bless my brothers, bless my sisters. Remember your blood-bought multitude all over the earth, in east and west, in south and north. Faithful Lord, and we lay before you the bringing in of the harvest. Oh, beloved Savior, may you give grace that in that moment we are available for you. Oh, God in heaven, be merciful and have compassion with us, who we not always obey everything as you require it. But Lord, we want. See, Lord, we want only to walk after your Spirit, as a German song goes. We want that your well-pleasing rests on us. Take us, girdle us, lead us on the way which we shall walk. Faithful Lord, I thank you. You have helped until here. We look back on years in which you were merciful to us. We thank you for every soul which you saved and for every word which you revealed. We thank you for everything. Beloved Lord, may it now be manifested that your word comes forth unto new life in us, to this divine life, of the divine nature, of the nature of Jesus Christ. Faithful Lord, all this you will do by your word, by your Spirit, in the blood-bought multitude. To you they belong. Hallelujah. You have chosen us, and not we you. You are holding us, and not we hold you. And therefore, we will reach the destination. Bless all brothers and sisters who do not shun any efforts or distance to come and to hear your word. Oh, beloved Lord, I am longing for the day on which they will be surprised of your presence. Oh God, thank you. You have still some surprises for us. Suddenly, it will be manifested. We thank you for it. And we praise your wonderful and glorious name. Amen.